And now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's Talk of the Town. Today is Prescott Day. Talk of the Town is sponsored by the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Prescott Dirt, Cottonwood Area Transit, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now, live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Good afternoon and welcome everybody to the KQ&A Talk of the Town. This is your mayor, Greg Mangarelli, and we have a show on COVID-19 today, believe it or not, because you probably haven't heard enough already on this topic. We have some great guests and authorities on COVID-19 in the studio today that you'll hear from in just a little bit. Leslie Horton, who is the director of the Yavapai County Health Services. We have Dr. Torres from YRMC and Diane Drexler from YRMC as well. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Bruce, what are you doing?
I'm waiting for the Catmobile.
The Catmobile? Do you mean Diverti Links?
Not so loud, Rudy. It's just a disguise. No Mere Bus runs 7 days a week, providing commuter service between Cottonwood and Sedona.
Diverti Links does.
That's because it's really the Catmobile. Here it comes now, prowling the streets of the Verde Valley to keep us safe. You can check it out yourself at www.ridecat.com. But don't tell anybody.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 Whites Bar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
Augie's Restaurant supports protecting the public from COVID-19, so our restaurant will be closed for dine-in service until this health crisis is minimized. Augie's will offer takeout only for lunch from 11 to 3, dinner takeout from 3 to 6. Check out Augie's menu online at augiesprescott.com. Call 777-0330 for convenient curbside pickup, or for delivery, go to postmates.com. Thank you for your support during this difficult time. Augie's, Highway 69, Frontier Village.
You home already?
Yeah, it's just too nasty to be out and about. I think I'll just have Olson's for Healthy Animals in Prescott deliver the stuff we need.
What's that? Pet food deliveries?
This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals, and yes, you heard that right. Pet food, pet supply, and bird seed deliveries within 10 miles of our Prescott store to your door, and delivery is free on orders over $25. You just call our Prescott store at 445-1664, give our cashier your order, pay by credit card, and we'll have it to you the same day if you order in the morning before we leave.
Okay, but don't you want to see us in your store?
Yeah, but sometimes you just can't make it here when you need the food and other goodies, or you just need some muscle to load it into the storage bins at your house. This delivery service will take care of that. And once again, it's free on deliveries over $25 within 10 miles of Olson's Prescott store. And as an added bonus, you'll get Olson's Good Enough Just Isn't service, because we have an incredible delivery driver. See you at your house.
Oh, say, can you see?
It's not every day you hear a British person singing the national anthem, but success is about getting the right attention. At A&E Reaper Graphics, we provide printing that catches the eye. Get your business noticed with exciting new print marketing and signage. Quality marketing shows the quality service we know you provide. Stop by one of our three great locations or call 442-9116. Get your business noticed with A&E Reaper Graphics today.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back, everybody, to Talk of the Town. We're here with three guests today to talk about the current pandemic, COVID-19. And we're going to start with Leslie Horton from Yavapai County Health. Leslie, welcome to the show. So, Leslie, give us a just a little overview first to start. How many cases in and around the state, and then kind of take it from there about what you're seeing in our community.
Yeah, well, as of today, we got an update from the state health department. And in that update, we have now 27 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Arizona. That was up from 20 as of yesterday afternoon. So we are seeing some, not extremely rapid, but some increase on a daily basis here with tests for COVID-19. Still understanding that we are limited in testing. And so only those that actually get tested come back either negative or positive. And so these numbers are based on testing people who are of probably high risk or exposure or symptoms. In the current count, there are 11 cases in Maricopa County, 5 in Pima County, 8 in Pinal, 1 in Graham, and 2 in Navajo County. And those 2 in Navajo County popped up yesterday, and they were the first two. Actually, one was yesterday, one today. They were the first two in northern Arizona. So before this, we only had cases in southern Arizona. So that may change how some of our northern Arizona parameters look in terms of the decisions we make and the other recommendations that I would make to our communities. But so far, of the tests that we've done, we have had no positive cases in Yavapai County. And so we update these numbers daily. We're trying to keep track and make sure that we are enabling as many providers locally to test as possible so that we get a better picture of what's really going on here.
Yeah, very good. Just so our listeners know, on Monday morning, we had a great meeting with all of the stakeholders involved here, from the county to the hospital to EMS to some of our elected officials. And it was a very good meeting. I'm very proud of all of our stakeholders in and around this situation and feel confident with the plans that are in place and how we're responding to this. So, Leslie, do you have a sense of how many tests are pending or how many, you know, people keep saying that, yeah, we don't have any confirmed cases, but we really haven't been testing. How many do you think approximately are out there pending, and when do you expect some results to start coming in?
We actually do have those numbers in today, and we are being reported on a regular basis how many tests are being run at the state lab or other labs, and how many have been inputted into the system as negative or positive or however they would come back. Currently, the results in the medical system show us 13 negative tests. So 13 were run, 13 came back negative. Now, there is an additional 13 tests that are pending. And so that comes to a total of 26. And there was 19 people who were seriously investigated but not tested. And so that's our people under investigation, our PUIs, we call them. And those are ones that showed to be possible exposures, but were not.
Yeah, that's actually kind of some good news to hear that you had 13 come back negative. I know that at the hospital and some other places around town with providers, they're very diligent in kind of going through a protocol of when they see different symptoms, starting with like a rapid flu and a strep, and maybe you or maybe we have Dr. Torres jump in here a little bit from the hospital. Doc, tell us a little bit about the protocol when somebody comes in. And, of course, if somebody's has some symptoms, what do you recommend they do first? And I know it's not run to the ER. And then once they do end up at your place, what are some protocols that you run through? I know the first thing isn't a COVID-19 test. So
that is correct. So the first protocol really, and this is for patients that are coming through to our clinics, is if they call in, they're usually getting advice from a physician or a physician assistant or nurse practitioner. If they have evidence of a cough or a sore throat, runny nose, flu-like symptoms, depending on what their history is, for the most part, they're being told to stay home, maintain that social spacing, and don't go out in big crowds. If they continue to worsen and their cough gets worse, they develop a fever, they develop a headache, shortness of breath, they're instructed to come to the emergency room. Now, patients who show up in the emergency room, they'll come into the emergency room, they'll get triaged, evaluated by a nurse or a nursing assistant at the entry to our hospital. And if they have symptoms suggestive of COVID, runny nose, cough, shortness of breath, fever, they immediately have a mask placed on them, and they're taken into our ED, into a isolation room with a negative pressure. At that point, the doctors will come in and evaluate the patients, and typically the first thing they're going to run is a rapid flu test, because our flu incidence is very high at this time. Majority of patients coming in are testing positive for flu. So if they test for flu and it's negative, then depending on the history, if they've had an exposure, if they've been around somebody who's had it, if they've traveled to a country that's greater than a level three, then they will give a stronger thought about testing for COVID. In addition to that, if they need, they might get an x-ray to evaluate what their lungs look like. If they come back and there doesn't show anything that's really significant on their blood test, their history is not consistent with high risk for exposure, or they're not an elderly patient with multiple comorbidities. If they are in that case, then the threshold to test for COVID is much lower. If they're young and healthy, we had one yesterday, young and healthy, without really any history, that patient was told to go home and self-quarantine. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much the process. Obviously, if they're sick enough to get admitted to the hospital, then they come in and they get placed in a isolation room.
Yes. So there's protocol, but there's also criteria for testing for COVID-19. And that's why is that? Why are we being very careful about who is tested?
So it's very, very important at this point in time. Number one, because there is such a limitation to testing kits. Number two, in our county, we don't have a high incidence or exposure or a lot of positive cases. So we are prioritizing who we're going to be screening initially. So patients who, again, have travel history abroad, have been to a country where there's been evidence of the pandemic, if they have symptoms, you know, fever, cough, headache, shortness of breath, or they have multiple comorbidities. They have some underlying lung disease, they're diabetic, they're taking some immunocompromising medication. Those people are in a higher risk category, and those are going to have a lower threshold to test. So if they're coming and they have those symptoms, those would be the patients that would be elderly over 65 with multiple comorbidities. They'll be our first responders, our police, our fire, our EMS, because they're the individuals we obviously need to protect, that are going into the homes and taking and transporting these patients. And then the third category is really all our healthcare workforce, our physicians, our nurses, all the assistants that are working in the laboratories are the people that we want to also protect, because we need them on the front line.
Yeah, I think it's a great explanation, Doc, because, you know, people might expect, much like a rapid flu, that, yeah, I can just go in and get this test real quick. And that's really not the case, because of the limitation of the number of test kits for COVID-19 that we have available to us. We have to be very careful in our community to reserve those for the infirm, the invalid, as you described, as well as our workers around the healthcare industry. Leslie, we had Stephen Everett from your office in on another call earlier today. He does a great job explaining this. But, you know, some people are still wondering, why are we taking this so serious the way we are? I mean, it's wrecking our economy, as we see, you know, with a lot of businesses that are having to shut down and whatnot. And so can you help color in a little bit for people, like, why is this different than the swine flu or some other flu that we've seen in the past? What is it about COVID-19? That we have to take this so seriously?
Well, COVID-19 is posing some new and unprecedented threats worldwide. And so what we've seen, and we're learning from other places across the globe where they've had to handle COVID-19 already and have endured the hardships and the death rates and the very ill individuals and businesses hurting, and we're learning every time it spreads to another nation, they handle it in a different way. And so with other nations having handled this in different manners, as United States and Arizona and even Yavapai County, we can learn from those some successes and some epic failures out there, because we were not prepared. Nobody was prepared. So right now, what I can say about what we are doing in Yavapai County is, because we have no positive cases yet, we're taking a preparation approach. Some of these measures that we're seeing even statewide or in our county may seem extreme at the time, but it's because these other nations that have faced this virus were not prepared, and they didn't have these rules in place and social isolation and hygiene practices and other things that would allow them to be better equipped to handle the virus and to keep it, I say, mitigate the spread, to keep those numbers low of people who are infected with it. And so Yavapai County is, we're preparing. We're in a preparation phase of this so that we can teach everyone to practice behaviors that will mitigate and slow down the spread of this virus when it gets here, if it's not here already. And so I want people to act like they think it's here. And even though we haven't proven any cases yet, let's act like there are. Try to make some changes in our daily lives that can help. And, you know, my heart goes out to the businesses, and everyone is being impacted by this. When I think of restaurant owners and our small businesses across across our towns and across the county and state and nation, everyone is going to be impacted. And no one is spared from the impacts of this, even our large businesses. And so, you know, we can do what we can as a nation and really wrap care around everyone right now. I think that, you know, in Yavapai County, we have allowed bars and restaurants and everyone to stay open at this point because we want them to be able to handle their businesses in the way that they see fit and start working with their business models if they can to start catering to those who will still need food in the community, like takeout and delivery and those things for restaurants. And think about other businesses and how they can work on setting up online sales and other things that will help them weather this.
Yeah, you make a good point, and I want to come back to that later in the show and talk more about restaurants and bars and a lot of the innovation that's happening in those spaces. They're doing a tremendous job. I couldn't be more proud of our restaurants for the new measures they put in place and the innovation that's happening with curbside takeout and delivery. I want to pull Diane, who's the chief nursing officer, in from the hospital. Diane, I know that I think I met you on Monday, and I think I've seen you about every day now, but Diane, I know that you guys huddle up routinely, I think daily, at the hospital to talk over best practices, what changes we need to make. Can you speak a little bit to that, especially in terms of visitation and some of the changes you're seeing as a result of COVID-19?
Sure. That is correct. We do meet on a daily basis. Every morning we huddle and talk about any changes that are happening, any new recommendations, any new suspected cases coming to the hospital. A couple of measures that we have put in place at our organization is we have limited our entrances to one entrance only at both facilities, and that's the main entrances. Our employees have badge access to other areas. We are limiting the number of vendors that come into our organization to essential vendors only. We are limiting our visitors to one visitor per patient, except for in extreme situations, end of life. In other circumstances, we are looking at our employees who can actually work from home and have started implementing those practices as well.
Yeah, that's great. I just want people to kind of know that there will be some different policies in effect and changes to visitation and entrance and all those kinds of things. And it's all, of course, to keep everyone inside and outside the hospital safe. Leslie, where can people go to get information? You know, again, there's every day I hear that, you know, people are thinking there's a case in Yavapai County, and I think somebody mentioned today that they thought they heard one, there was one at City Hall, which is not true. But where can people go to get good information and not pay attention to these rumors?
Thank you for asking that, because we, and as you can imagine, I handle a lot of rumors on a daily basis, and I keep directing people back to www.yavapai.us avapai.org/CHS for Community Health Services. So if you go to the Avapai County page, look at Community Health Services, and we will post information as it's available, those most recent recommendations for individuals and businesses, as well as most recent cases. And if we do get a positive COVID-19 case in Yavapai County, it will be immediately posted there. One other resource for people with questions, if they just have questions and they need answers, call 1-844-542-8201, and that's the COVID-19 hotline.
Yeah, very good. I think it's important to get that out there so people can get information that they know is trustworthy and kind of keep those rumors quelled down. Leslie and anybody can jump in on this, but what's your sense of just the partnership and collaboration happening, across the county? I know, Leslie, you have a better sense across the whole county, but anybody just jump in. I know it's been a busy 2 or 3 days. What's your sense of what's going on just in terms of our community working together to tackle this issue?
I can sure say that our county as a whole is collaborative by nature and has been for as long as my career has been here. But it is amazing to me to see everyone come together in this. All of us were in the room on Monday when we met with CEOs of all of our large healthcare and mental health companies, as well as first responders and everyone else who is facing this as leaders of the community, trying to figure out where are our strengths, where are our weaknesses, and what do we need to do to better combat and prevent a spread of this virus in our community. Now, on the Verde Valley side, the same is true. They pulled together a last-minute meeting for me just yesterday in the Verde Valley, and I was able to speak to all of those same leaders and first responders and hospitals, healthcare providers and leaders that, and even some elected officials from the state level that are all concerned about this and want to know that we can fill the gaps that are there, address the issue of increased testing, and really just come together to make sure that we are all equipped as we can be to handle this as it enters our area.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Mayor, and I'd like to thank Leslie also. I think it's a great opportunity for our community to come together to get the best service that we can provide during these unprecedented times. I think if you look at the historical pattern of this particular crisis, communication and consistent communication is really going to be the key to lowering the level of anxiety for our citizens and our communities. And so, the opportunity to work with the County Health Department and for them to be the spearhead and the single voice of direction, education, implementation plans, I think is really something that's going to be unprecedented for our community health network. And I think that in itself will lower the anxiety level.
Yeah, very good. I think not only do we have great collaboration amongst leaders, but we have a great community that's really pulling together, as you kind of alluded to, Dr. Torres. And I hear about neighbors helping neighbors and people helping folks that can't get out, get groceries and essentials. And I just want to continue to encourage that. We have enough toilet paper out in this community somewhere. It may not be on a shelf in a grocery store, but there's enough out in the community. Go down the street and ask folks if they need anything. And maybe you've got some extra at your place. And I just really want to encourage our folks to tackle this as a community together, because this is going to be a lot easier to get through if we're doing this all together and we're not so inward focused. So I appreciate all those stories of folks helping one another out there. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll talk some more about COVID-19.
Hi. Hi, this is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. When you see one of our trucks rolling down the road in Yavapai County, that's not just a fresh tank of propane. That's the warmth the family will feel this winter. The heat that'll cook their meals, wake them up to hot coffee, and dry the clothes they wear. For three generations, people have associated our name with the comfort provided by clean, burn, and propane. 67 years of touching the lives of families in Yavapai County. You can find out more at BarrettPropane.com. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
It's that time of year again. PBC's anniversary beer only gets released once a year in celebration of surviving the Ides of March. Ooh, they said, don't open on March 15th. It's the Ides of March, the day Brutus killed Caesar, and it's bad luck. So we said phooey. And 26 years later, we're just releasing the 2020 Batch of Defiance Imperial Red Ale, served in a Belgian-style tulip glass. Get it while it's here, because after that it's gone until 2021. Prescott Brewing Company, defying the Ides of March since 1994.
We're told that staying in the moment is one path to a happy life. The Breast Care Center at Yavapai Regional Medical Center is here to help you on that journey. Rest assured that when it comes to your breast health, YRMC's Breast Care Center sets the standard of excellence in our community. What does that mean to you? It means state-of-the-art screening technology, exceptional and experienced providers, a compassionate and supportive team. And, if you need it, YRMC's Breast Care Center is ready with the most advanced diagnostic studies and customized treatment options. Staying in the moment. Inspired by you.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for listening to KQ&A Talk of the Town. We're here with three healthcare professionals in our community that are helping us better understand COVID-19 and what we can do as a community to ensure that everyone is safe and healthy. So, Leslie, let's talk just a little bit very practically. What can people do themselves? You know, I talk about helping others in your neighborhood and sharing and those kinds of things, but what can individuals and families do to protect themselves?
Thank you, Mayor. We did mention checking on neighbors. I think that's a big deal right now, is to really check on those around you who need help. But on a personal level, and as on a family level or an individual basis, we need to teach ourselves again to wash our hands as often as possible. If you have access to hand sanitizer, I realize that supplies are low on that as well, but if you can find some, make some yourself. Have it available when you're, you know, getting into your car or other places that you can use it, and just make sure your hands are staying clean. But also a huge recommendation is to stay home if you're sick. I realize people are trying to get as much done right now as they can while they can go to work. But if you're feeling symptoms of any type of illness, please stay home. If you have children at home or any family members that are sick, at this point in time, I need to ask you to please stay home with your family and let yourself rest and get better. If you think that you have symptoms of COVID-19, then call your provider from there. Don't try to make it to the office if you're not sick enough to require hospitalization. And then only buy what you need. You know, that's another strong recommendation is that we do have a community, and some people have more supplies than others. Please, you know, limit what you're buying at this point in time to what you need. Allow others to get what they need too.
Yeah, that's good advice, Leslie. You know, I was just at Costco a little bit ago, and over there they do have some rationing in place. I think some other stores are ramping that up or considering that, and I think that's a good idea. But, you know, we really ought to just self-police, right? We ought to have enough common sense to know that we just need to buy what we need for the next week or so, and there'll be more there in another week. Panic buying is not really helping the whole community. Let's take this out just a little bit. We haven't touched on kind of what's going on around the world. And for me, this kind of helps give me some hope about what we may be seeing in the future. anybody that wants to can jump in on this. I know Stephen Everett from your office is a really huge wealth of information around this. But, you know, this all started in China. And it looks like things are kind of coming back to normal to some extent, where they're seeing a lull in these cases and some other things going on in Europe. What can we learn from what we see going on around the world?
Well, we can really historically start to kind of look at, you know, what's happened in China. That's kind of our test center of where the data is going to start coming out. And thinking about when it started and up until now, where they're kind of on the bottom of the curve at this point, where they have less cases that are turning positive and more patients recovering. And really, it was about a 10-week period. Mm-hmm. If you look at South Korea, similar type of situation, they had a huge influx right away, and that tapered off, and now they're on the downside of the curve also. So I would say for us, and I think what I've heard from the federal government, is that we're probably going to go along that same curve. At this point in time in the United States, we don't know what the peak is going to be. Obviously, we have a larger country. We have areas of the country that are much more impacted than others. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to all be on a different timeline. But I would guesstimate that it's going to be about a 10-week period that we see something go up and something come down. Now, obviously, you know, depending on the number of cases you get and the demographics of your population, you may have more sicker patients than other places, and you may have a slower recovery rate. And that may be something we may see in our community just because of the demographics we have. But I think there is going to be light at the end of the tunnel. To say exactly when that's going to happen, it's hard to predict. We don't have enough data. You know, we just have two countries that we're looking at. And the last thing I'd like to say is I really want to send a shout out to all our healthcare providers in the community, all our first responders that are out there working really hard, you know, every day, putting their own personal lives at risk, and working with us in trying to prevent and really give our communities the best care. So all our doctors, all our nurses, all our nurse practitioners, the physician assistants, and anybody who's in the healthcare arena that's supporting these individuals are all working hard to try and keep this under control.
Yeah, Doc, I appreciate you saying that, and we can't say it enough, right? These folks literally are putting their lives on the line, EMS and in our hospitals and our providers out there, and we do need to thank them. I'd ask our community to make sure when you run into those folks that you thank them for what they do every day. Couple things with what's going on in China and other places, then you're talking about a 10-week period, give or take. Do you see that we have started in on that period to some degree? What are your thoughts? I know it's kind of tough to say, but are we in a week or two, do you think, in Arizona?
I think we're probably in at a week or two. You know, we're behind California. We're behind New York City. So obviously, you know, I can't predict when we're going to hit a peak, but I think, as Leslie mentioned, as our capability to test becomes more prevalent, I think we will see more cases that are positive, and hopefully we won't see severe illness in the community. I think that the opportunity for preparation that we have has given us an advantage that mm-hmm. California and New York may not have had. I think Arizona, and it's, you know, where we're at geographically, we didn't have those influx of travelers that were traveling internationally or on cruises that got pushed off onto the coast. So I think we you know, we may fall into that timeline and we may not, but I think we're probably a week or two into it.
Yeah, no, that's fair, and I won't hold you to it. I know it's a tough thing to answer, and there's no right answer. I find that every day when I wake up and face each day, as we just try to do our best. But we may be a couple weeks into this. It may be about a 10-week period. The other thing I think you're kind of starting to touch on this as well, Doc, and that is, you know, being in a rural area in Yavapai County, I'm just hoping that because we're not metro, because we don't have as many people so close together like China that has 100 million people, you know, in a very small space, I'm hopeful that is to our advantage. What do you guys think?
I can answer to that one, and I appreciate it. And I've mentioned that a lot of times. I think we have the benefit. It's why a lot of us live here, is that we enjoy rural Arizona, and we enjoy not having to live in such close proximity with everyone else. And yet we have an embracing and loving community. We also have our distance. And in this case, and a lot of the recommendations that you see coming down from the president's office as well as the governor's office is to socially distance yourself. And you know, at this point we're asking our elderly individuals to stay home unless you really have to go out. Ask your neighbors and friends to maybe grab your groceries for you, or there's other options for grocery delivery and those kind of things. And so, you know, this, we do have that great benefit here of being able to, in a more efficient way, socially isolate ourselves. We go beyond that with some of the recommendations to say, you know, now the governor's office is asking on CDC recommendation that in areas where we're trying to mitigate the spread of this, to limit our meetings to 10 or less people. And that's really tough to do. And I'm seeing that, you know, some of the meetings we're really trying to cater to that, and even within meetings, distance people from each other. But it's what we know works. And I know that if we could all keep a healthy distance as well as use those good hygiene practices, we'd have a lot less chance of seeing a spread in our community.
Yeah, that's a good word. You know, my 75-year-old mom lives in a guest house with us in proximity. And I just told her a few days ago, I said, Mom, there's just no reason for you to go out. She does her walks on a daily basis near the house, but I get all of her groceries and any kind of medications or whatever she needs. We just get it for her, because you're right. She's in that age group that we want to make sure that they're just isolated as much as possible. Doc, when you were talking about thanking healthcare workers, you know, they put their lives on the line literally every day. I think of PPE, the protection equipment that's required. And I wondered if you or Diane might jump in and just let us know, what is the supply of those kinds of, that equipment? How are we doing in that regard? And maybe even expand on what the hospital has in place in terms of ventilators and those kinds of things.
Sure, I can answer that. That is one of the topics that we discuss at our daily huddle, and we do have 82 ventilators between our both campuses, and are actively looking at also leasing some more in the event that we need that. We take inventory of all of our N95 masks, our other masks, goggles, as well as gowns, and at this point in time, we have an adequate supply. And again, that's something that we monitor on a daily basis and work with our purchasing vendors to ascertain that we are always at a good level with those.
Yeah, very good. And then in terms of just your two facilities here in Yavapai County, are you looking at some creative ways to create more space, more beds, if we need to move conference room tables out or whatever it takes?
Yes, absolutely. That is another agenda topic that we discuss on a daily basis, and we look at every space that we have in both of our organizations. If we needed to, could we expand the number of critical care beds? Could we expand the number of med-surg beds? And how could we isolate those patients? And we do have alternative and contingency plans for that.
And I'd like to add that yesterday's meeting with the governor, one of the suggestions or requests that were made from the physicians at the meeting was really relaxing some of the state regulations on how beds are licensed in the hospital. You know, you have to have particular types of licenses to deliver certain types of services. And so that is something that he's going to be considering, so we have some flexibility of where we could actually put those extra beds.
And then I wanted to add that as a community local public health department, we also are working on access to the strategic national stockpile allotment that would allow us additional PPE in the case of an emergency, when we need to equip our first responders, also healthcare providers who are limited. It's not going to be a large amount of supplies, but we're trying to inventory what our first responders need in order to feel like they're safe and continue doing what they need to do in this response. And so we will be looking at that, and then I meet again also with the governor tomorrow and the other health officers across the state to make sure that we're working together, sharing supplies, and doing what we can to make the best recommendations possible.
Yeah, that's good. The collaboration statewide is important. I know John Amos earlier on a call that we were on, he was talking a lot about that as well, the collaboration that he has with other executives in other healthcare agencies across our state. So, you know, those resources can move to wherever they need to, and it's good to know that you guys are collaborating even statewide. Yeah, the personal protection equipment, PPE, is so important, Leslie, as you were talking. I was just thinking, for our EMS folks in fire and even police, it's so important, Lifeline Ambulance as well, that they have this equipment. We need these people to be working for us the next 8, 10, 12 weeks through this pandemic. And so it's good to know that in our case, I can say with the city of Prescott, and I know it's true with the hospital, and that you're working on more supplies, Leslie, that we do have what we need in place right now. And we're also looking at how to continue to fill that supply chain to make sure that we have in place what we need for PPE for these healthcare workers. Well, we're going to take a little break here. And when we come back, I want to kind of move back into talking a little bit about the restaurants and kind of some of the things that they're doing and how we can support small business. But we'll be right back after these messages.
The Old Banner Road is waiting for you at Affinity RV. You get a home where the view.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service, Sales, and Rentals, and we're proud to be a long-time local business with three locations to serve you. Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69 in Prescott Valley and Dewey, and online all the time at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle Brothers. From Gettle's High Desert Mechanical,
home of the once-in-a-lifetime experience.
What do you mean, Ted?
On average, people are going to buy a new furnace or AC unit once in their lifetime.
So they might as well buy the best.
Yeah, because if our name's on it, we want you to be comfortable.
For a lifetime.
Go to GettlesHDM.com. That's GOETTL. The guys and gals at Gettle's get it. Got it? Good.
There's an app to save on flights. An app to rent a bike. And an app to help you save for driving safely. The Allstate app gives you real-time driving feedback with DriveWise, giving you the power to lower your insurance cost. In fact, safe drivers can save 40% or more. Connect and save with DriveWise. You're in good hands.
Download the Allstate app today. Savings may vary by state and driving behaviors. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Use of Allstate Mobile with activation of DriveWise required. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Thanks for joining KQ&A's Talk of the Town. I'm DJ Phone with your Wednesday check of local and state news and weather together, brought to you by Affinity RV. The Yavapai County Sheriff's Department reports a road closure at Highway 89A for southbound traffic and at the roundabout at Willow Lake Road and Highway 89 for northbound traffic due to a water main break. For more information, contact Public Works at 777-1130. Yavapai County Community Health Services reports that as of today, there are 27 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Arizona. They consist of 11 in Maricopa County, 5 in Pima, 8 in Pinal, 1 in Graham, and 2 in Navajo County. There are not yet any reported cases in Yavapai County. To honor official safety recommendations, the James Family Prescott YMCA closed last evening. They have a target reopening date of April 1st, but will monitor that situation. Steady rain with snow showers today through tomorrow night. 1 to 3 inches of snow late tonight. Chilling to a breezy 30 after bedtime. Warming tomorrow only to a breezy 39 in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt. Friday to a mostly sunny 48 with a 20% chance for mid-morning snow showers. Up to 55 Saturday. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, a late-night low of very wet 37, warming only to a rainy, breezy 50 tomorrow, with sunshine returning Friday and Saturday, with highs near 57 and 64. Your KQ&A News and Weather this hour is a service of Affinity RV. Have a great Wednesday evening and stay tuned. Talk of the Town Prescott will continue in a moment on KQ&A.
Oh, say, can you see?
It's not every day you hear a British person singing the national anthem, but success is about getting the right attention. At A&E Rippographics, we provide printing that catches the eye. Get your business noticed with exciting new print marketing and signage. Quality marketing shows the quality service we know you provide. Stop by one of our three great locations or call 442-9116. Get your business noticed with A&E Rippographics today.
Hey everybody, this is Ted Gettle.
And this is Adam Gettle.
We're the Gettle Brothers. You know, Adam, winter is almost over.
Yeah, Ted, it's a good time to get your AC ready for summer.
My AC's fine. You're talking about the listeners, right?
Picky. Okay, all you listeners, let Gettles get you prepared for summer.
You mean get your AC prepared for summer.
Oh, brother.
That's me.
Say bye-bye winter and get ready for summer with a Gettles AC system checkup. Don't settle. Get Gettles. G-O-E-T-T-L. Visit GettlesHDM.com.
Augie's Restaurant supports protecting the public from COVID-19, so our restaurant will be closed for dine-in service until this health crisis is minimized. Augie's will offer takeout only for lunch from 11 to 3, dinner takeout from 3 to 6. Check out Augie's menu online at augiesprescott.com. Call 777-0330 for convenient curbside pickup, or for delivery, go to postmates.com. Thank you for your support during this difficult time. Augie's, Highway 69, Frontier Village.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for joining us here on KQ&A Talk of the Town. We just have a little bit of time left. We touched on businesses earlier and our small businesses in our communities, and it's so important that we figure out ways that we can support our small businesses to help them through this time so they can weather this storm and come out on the other side able to continue to do business. And so I've been in touch with a lot of different restaurant owners and bar owners, and at this point in Prescott, we're allowing restaurants to continue to stay open. This is something that the governor has not forbidden yet for those restaurants to be open here in Yavapai County. Leslie, what are some things that you know of in terms of best practices during COVID-19 for a restaurant that you're hearing about, that if they want to do in-house dining, what are the things that restaurants are doing or need to do to ensure that they can stay open?
Thank you. And I've stopped in on a few restaurants just to see how their practices are. And our inspectors are still regularly going out just to help and assist at this point to make sure that the restaurants are doing what they can do to provide a safe environment, that they can still provide food that is safe and prepared in a way that we would approve of, but also that the environment is kept safe and clean. And what I've seen is a lot of washing of surfaces on a regular basis, especially those tables, making sure that everything comes through the kitchen is very properly handled. I see workers going and using the hand washing stations often, making sure that they are they're washing their hands on a regular basis. And then those door handles and other commonly used surfaces, they are doing a great job of sanitizing those, making sure that germs are limited in their ability to spread. The other recommendation that I've had is to limit the seating so that they can space people out a little more, using that spacing idea of 6 feet or more between the tables especially. And people are being respectful, they're understanding, and I do still see a lot of people utilizing our restaurants, which is a good sign that they're wanting to support, as long as they can, those businesses. And my other recommendation is to be creative. Look at your business model, see if you can do takeout, delivery, other options like drive-throughs, and just do what they can to make sure they can weather this.
Yeah, very good. Good stuff out there for our restaurant operators. I've noticed, too, there's no condiments on a table, so something like that that you'd be touching a lot, those are not on the table. I actually was at dinner out last night at a restaurant in Prescott. There were very few people there, which on one hand, I guess, is good for social distancing. On the other hand, it's not so good for that business. But one thing we did at the end of dinner is we bought gift certificates. And I think this is something that our folks in town can do for our restaurants and our small shops and businesses. And that is buy gift cards, buy gift certificates. Some of that you have to go in to do, but some of it you can't even do online. And you're right, Leslie, there's so much innovation happening right now that I think is actually good, and some of it may continue even after this pandemic. I know of restaurants in Prescott that are doing a family of four meals to go that you take and then prepare at home so that they don't have to worry about those temps that you guys worry about at the county health department. I know of a pizza place that is doing a pizza kit where you can pick that pizza up, take it home, and the family can put the pizza together and bake it off and eat it at home. And so not just regular takeout, but also these creative things are happening with a limited menu, which I don't think people mind. They just love good quality food, and they're not as particular about the different menu items at this point. And so I appreciate our restaurant operators really trying to keep people safe and trying to stay alive. And you know, it's a choice. If you're not wanting to go out, please don't go out. But if you're of an age that and you feel, you know, because you're healthy and you can go out, please go out and be safe. These restaurant operators are doing their very best to keep everyone safe out there, and we need to support them through this difficult time. I also wanted to say, just with city services, I want to reassure everyone that all city services are moving forward as normal. So public safety is still happening. All of our trash is being picked up. The transfer station is still open. All of our water resources are going to happen, so that tap is still going to be live with clean water when you turn it on. You can pay your city bills online or over the phone, so you don't have to come into City Hall. Our city council is going to continue to meet. While we won't have it open to the public, we will continue to get city business done. The library is closed, but on Friday we will have curbside pickup. And all events on city property have been canceled through May 10th. And this is that CDC order that came down for 8 weeks for no large gatherings. So we're adhering to that through May 10th. That includes sporting events and public events. Our parks are open, and I want to encourage our families. Parks are open, and trailheads, those areas where you might typically or would typically pay for parking or entrance into a park, those are now those fees are waived, and it's free to get into our parks. It's free to park at our trailhead. So take advantage of a hike or going to the park and getting out in the good weather when it comes back. Right now we're in the middle of a snowstorm. So I also want to just mention to our small businesses, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and I'm sure Prescott Valley Chamber of Commerce or your local Chamber of Commerce is a great resource for you. They're working with the Northern Arizona Council of Governments. So if folks are being laid off and they need unemployment or whatever those needs are, go to your local Chamber of Commerce. They're there to help you out. There are some SBA loans and assistance that they're working on as well. You can go to prescott.org for the Prescott Chamber of Commerce and get more information there to help your businesses. Anything else that we didn't cover here that you guys have thought of? A lot of information an hour. We've been doing this a number of times. I know I keep seeing you guys, whether it's in a press conference or a meeting. Anything else you'd like to mention?
You know, thank you, Mayor, for having us on and for addressing this very important issue that everyone's thinking about right now. And, you know, I can only reinforce that if people can do what they can for themselves, but then think of what they can do for others, it helps them to make a difference in the community. Realize there's a lot of people that are going to be for a while now facing a lot of hardship. And social isolation is not a fun thing for anyone. And so the more that we can be kind and caring and think outside of our own situations and help others, the better everyone's going to be in the long run. And we may have some new friends when we get out of this and be able to, you know, tell stories later. But I do appreciate that people are doing their part. It's all we can do right now is to plan for your business model. Prepare as an individual, as a family, and as an organization, and as a community to face this. We will keep you informed as cases do start popping up in our county. I hope we have a little while still, but as we know and as more testing is made available, I'm quite confident that we will start to see some cases, and I just hope at that point in time that people are practicing and already utilizing all of these recommendations that we have given them. And so thank you for having me on the air.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for being here. You mentioned testing, and I just really wanted to quickly mention that it sounds like we're starting to see more tests coming into our area. You're talking about more tests that will be happening. Do you expect lots more results, say, next week? Are there quite a few more tests that you think will be administered? And question for anybody, in the next week or two, we really haven't had more than a handful, 5 or 6 or 10 or 20. Are we going to see this ramp up in a more dramatic way in the next week?
You know, I think that there's a lot of individuals in the community that have concern over exposure to the COVID virus. So I do anticipate that we will see an increase in testing and maybe an increase in testing positive results. From the hospital perspective, you know, we are testing patients, but we don't have that large volume of critically ill with this respiratory problem. So I don't know, you know, we may see it. It just depends. I think that we, again, are really ahead of the curve in our community in terms of really preventing and preparing for this. So I think from a hospital perspective, we're doing all the things that actually weren't done in China or in South Korea. So I'm hoping that that will really, really kind of blunt the response we're going to see in our community.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It's like we've done a great job, and we need to continue to do a great job, even though we don't have any confirmed cases, Doc. I think that's really good words. We don't want to become lackadaisical here in the next few weeks. This is probably the most critical time, in my opinion, uneducated opinion, that as we enter what may be the storm of COVID-19 or the peak, that we really need to be vigilant in the next few weeks. And I do appreciate, as you mentioned, Doc, just how great people have been and cooperative and following instructions coming down from Washington, D.C. and the state and the county. So I want to ask us to continue to do that. Anything else from the hospital side, Diane or Dr. Torres, that you have a parting shot for us?
You know, just again, you know, to be cognizant if you have any of the signs and symptoms, you know, do not come to the hospital. Again, we want to keep everybody safe. Want to reassure everybody in the community that we have increased our cleaning practices as well, as far as sterilization of certain types of rooms and increased cleaning of public areas as well. So, again, you know, we continue to do that to keep our patients and our community safe.
Yes, good words. You know, really, we want folks to go right to their primary care provider first and not overwhelm the ER. Of course, if you have chest pains or something like that, that would be different. But if you have cold or flu-like symptoms, start with your local provider so that we don't overwhelm our system here at the hospital and that kind of thing. So, well, look, we're running out of time. I do want to thank everybody, Diane, Dr. Torres, Leslie, for being with us today. This gets to be a lot to do here, but it's important to get this information out. Leslie, do you have some information for our folks out there?
Yeah, just real quick before we end, I'd like to reinforce where to get valid and useful information in this. Try to not fall prey to rumors. Yavapai.us/CHS will have current and up-to-date local information posted. You can always go to the CDC, especially for recommendations on business, healthcare, and any other facet like schools if you have questions. But also there is that hotline, 1-844-542-8201, for anyone who has just general questions that they need answers to. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all for being on the show. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. I want to ask that everybody continue to remain calm during this time. Help out your neighbors. We will get through this together. Thanks for listening to KQ&A Talk of the Town, streaming on KQ&A.com, 95.5 FM, 99.9 FM, and 1130 AM. That's all we have for today.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Cottonwood Area Transit, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Annie Reaper Graphics, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employers, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.